The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Climatech Professional Air, with host Travis Thompson.
Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Davis Allen, hanging out in the studio for Jenna Barr. She's on a well-deserved vacation, and I have Travis Thompson of Climatech of Professional Air in studio with me. Travis, how's it going?
It's going well. It's getting busy.
You know, I think last time you were here, you said, man, why don't you hop in the studio? We can talk some baseball.
That's right.
Well, here
we can
I am.
Do that
I'm finally here.
Like. We can talk baseball.
Yeah, I did
I don't
go to the Blue
Wahoos.
I
think that's what this is for. But
I know it's your time, so we can spend it how you prefer.
Well, I'd like to talk baseball, but I don't think that's what it's about.
Yeah, I know. You are a specialist, specifically with Climatech, a professional air, working with the heat systems, cooling systems. It's getting hot out there now, as we all know. I think it hit 90 for the first time in a while yesterday.
It
when
did.
We're going to see more of that. So just getting right into it, I actually had a question, because now that we're finally getting away from the cooler season back into heat, what is the difference between working on a unit in the wintertime compared to the summertime?
Well, I mean, the wintertime for the most part is not that bad around here. And there are some things with an HVAC system as far as the cooling system goes that you really can't perform completely when it's cold weather outside. You know, running a refrigerant check in really cold weather is nearly impossible. That's why we try to get those in the shoulder months when it's a little cooler but not cold. But other than that, you know, you're battling the heat outside now. You know, obviously being at that outdoor condenser when it's pumping out 100 plus degree air and then you're already in the sunshine, it gets hot. But and if you have anything that's in an attic space, that's probably the biggest thing. If you've got any kind of air handler that's in an attic space, have that thing serviced before now, because getting up there right now is absolutely miserable. I mean, I've seen temperatures in the 130s and above, and when it gets that hot, you just can't do but so much up there, you know, and that's something that we would really rather do preventative than to try to get up there now and fix things. But if it happens, it happens, and we deal with it.
Yeah, you know, what are some preventative maintenance tips that you would provide for somebody as we get into the hotter months?
Well, the biggest thing, especially with an indoor unit, is, you know, making sure your coil is clean. That's a number one. Keeping it clean. The blower wheel itself can get dirty. The coil can get dirty. Another thing that's good for preventative is most of the time when we find a system die, a lot of the cases now are evaporator leaks. That's your indoor coil. And what that typically is the rust on the indoor coils starts to build up over time, and then you start to get little microscopic leaks from electrolysis that form. And when that rust is so bad, you can kind of see it coming. And we've got the ability now with our digital system to actually take pictures of it and show it to you. And, you know, you can put it off as long as you'd like, but if that coil is eventually going to go out, it's going to go out. And once the rust gets so bad, it's you know it's coming. So that's just something else that you can do. You know, the units we're putting in, the American Standard brand's gone to an all-aluminum coil to stop that, to stop the rust, stop the electrolysis, which is great. But a lot of the units that we see are not. They're still the copper and aluminum fin, so we see a lot of that buildup and a lot of rust and a lot of rot.
So now with, I guess, when going into the hotter season now, I'm sure it brings in a lot more work, probably a little bit more around the clock stuff. Are you by any chance also adding extra help to your staff, hiring by any chance?
We're trying to. It's hard to find people right now. I know that's not the first time you've heard that.
Nope, not at all.
it's hard to find people right now. I've got a son who's just come of age enough. He is a helper now, so we hired him this week to put with one of our senior techs to not only teach him a little bit, but the senior tech had a surgery on his hand, so he actually needs a set of hands with him. So putting him to work. And it's something that I've always struggled with, because I don't ever want to bring on so many people that I have to lay off people when things slow down. So I would rather be a little overloaded right now and deal with it with the guys I have and the crew I have that I know and I trust, because these people are going in and out of people's homes and everything else. So it takes a little while to get somebody into your business and really learn to trust them to do some of the things we do. Because, I mean, we have a lot of customers just say, hey, the key's under the doormat or whatever that might be. And that's a lot of trust on that customer, therefore putting a lot of trust on me and my shoulders. So I've got to trust the people that are going in there. So I hate to just bring people in. So we try to keep it as cut back as possible, because we know after this 3 months, it's going to slow down a little bit again. And we don't want to have to lay people off. We don't want to have to go through that swing. So that's what we try to do. But right now, it's just now starting to pick up real busy. And if we can keep everybody, you know, healthy and at work, we're in pretty good shape right now.
And I know you said you have a couple of promotions that you wanted to plug in. I do have a couple of questions coming through at our news radio text line. And if you want to join in on the conversation, 850-437-1620 is the phone number. First question is, will an air purification system work in a business's AC system, such as a restaurant?
Absolutely. There's several systems out there that are built for commercial applications. There are a lot of systems out there that will work for both residential and commercial. They're typically built based on the CFM, the cubic feet per minute of air that they're moving past them. So, you know, in a commercial application, you may need more than one, or you may need a larger one built for a larger CFM. But absolutely they do, and there's several different options out there, from the bipolar ionization products, a lot of different type filters. So, yes, absolutely there are.
Also, in the follow-up question on our actually a separate question, can we get the basics on types of refrigerants, and is one type no longer available?
That question's probably based around the R22, which is the one that the EPA regulated out. That refrigerant, if you can find any of it now, it's extremely expensive. And in my opinion, there's really no need for it, because they have made blends of refrigerant that will mimic what the R22 did. Now, it doesn't do it at 100% capacity. I'll just make that clear. So you are going to lose a little bit of capacity if you use one of these blends, but the blends are much, much cheaper. And if you're in a position where that's your only option, that would be my recommendation. Most of the R22 systems that are being repaired are well past the date of what you would normally expect an AC unit to run. So if you've got an R22 system and you're still repairing it, you're kind of throwing good money after bad. But some people don't have that option, you know, and if their budget just needs it to keep running, then we can look at one of those blends and get a blend in it and keep it running. But you just want to be upfront with a customer and let them know, because you don't want to, you know, repair a system for 5 years and knowing that it's really past its life expectancy. As long as we're upfront with a customer and that's what they choose to do, we can do different blends of refrigerant. But to talk about the actual types of refrigerant, it's almost endless. I mean, there are many blends that replace R22. There are many blends that replace the old R12 that's been gone for years now. There are blends that replace the old 502. All the old refrigerants that have kind of been weeded out by the EPA, there's a lot of blends for them. And then we've got new refrigerants like it's over 15 years old now, the 410A, or known as Puron. So there are a lot of those systems too. That's what's primarily out there now. And that one's still a readily available refrigerant. They're talking about phasing it out. It's already got dates on it as to when it'll go away. So we're constantly going to revolve that door of refrigerants, I believe. But there's always another solution out there. I would just say to ask, and each situation will be a little different.
Yeah, and just give a call, and a question that can be answered.
Absolutely.
And what's the number to reach out to y'all if there are any questions today?
Sure, it's 850-857-4700.
So we're speaking with Travis Thompson of Climatech of Professional Air. You had mentioned that you had some promotions that you wanted to go over. What's going on this summer?
Yeah, we've talked about it a little bit on the past shows. We've had one going now that's with our variable speed product, the 18 and the 20 SEER variable speed. If we change that out, the homeowner can opt to have a free mini split, the 9,000 BTU mini split unit. They pay us for the installation of it, because it's that part of it's going to vary depending on where they want it installed. But if they wanted it in a garage or in a sunroom or a bedroom, say the master bedroom, you wanted to sleep in that room really cold and the rest of the house wouldn't have to be that cold. So there's a lot of different ways to use them and a lot of different options. We've got one lady right now that looked at possibly zoning, because she had a big sunroom off the back of the house with a lot of windows in it, and it never stayed the same temperature. And they won't, unless it has its own control. It has to have either a zone off of the system that we install so that it can run independently of the rest of the house, or you have to do something like a mini split or a PTEC out there, because the heat gain through all that glass is just so much greater than the rest of the house, it won't stay comfortable unless you do something separate. So she's choosing to do the mini split. That way we can control just that sunroom on that mini split. And then if she's not out there, she doesn't have to run it. So it's actually a good power saver too.
Well, perfect. It's a good power saver. Ultimately saves a lot of money in the end. And do you know on average when people are going for these power saving options, what it tends to save them on a yearly basis?
I get that question a lot, and the reason it's impossible to answer is you don't know how much they're going to use it, and you don't know what other electronic devices they use. So someone that's all electric, I can give examples. You know, I've got lots of customers out there that will attest and be glad to have people call them that have saved well over $100 a month on their power bill by changing an old system to the variable speed. My personal house, we see between $70 and $80 a month when I changed mine. And that's going to change too. And the reason that question, again, is a moving question is we don't know what the power company is going to charge for our power in 1 year, 2 year, 3 years. So that's another thing we have to kind of factor in there and not be able to pinpoint it. But, you know, we could get down to the kilowatt usage and all that stuff. We can pinpoint that per house, depending on the tonnage of your unit and things like that. But our normal that we see is between that $75 range and up to $150 a month in savings on power bills. I mean, it's pretty dramatic.
So, yeah, and that's actually I know for me, like, I guess I typically have a power bill of around $100, but I just, I don't know how often I would use an option like that.
Right.
So I would hope that if it's power saver, you know, I can, you know, chip away anything on the power bill.
Right. And that little, you know, when you've got a power bill that low already, obviously you're not going to save $75 on your power bill.
I wish.
So that's right. So that's why it's really hard when somebody says how much you're going to save. You're obviously not using a ton of air conditioning already if you're only paying $100 a month. So you may see $25, you know, $30, depending on how you use it.
No, I'll take that. $25. I'll take the savings anytime. Again, we have Travis Thompson here of Climatech of Professional Air. If you want to join in on the conversation, 850-437-1620. And actually, on that note, a texter writes in, I have a two-story house and don't use the upstairs. What temperature should that be set at?
I don't like to see anything up above about 78. And the reason being, you want that upstairs unit to run enough that the humidity stays under control. And that would probably be a good recommendation, would be to get you some means of measuring your humidity upstairs, because you don't want to see that humidity get above 60% and stay there, or you're going to inhibit mold growth. So that's the biggest caution you have with that. And most of the time, I would say around 78 degrees, and then whatever you like downstairs. Just as a general rule of thumb. But the main thing there is the humidity. You don't want that humidity to get out of control.
So 437-1620, 850-437-1620. Why is it, and I read a report, and we actually joked about this on air because it just seemed impractical, at least for me. Mm-hmm. But they say that the best temperature you can set your household at during the summer season is 78 degrees. Now, that just naturally seems hot to me, but why would that be advised?
Save money. I mean, they're trying to cut energy cost, and you know the best thing that the utility companies would love to see a nice steady flow of power usage. So in the middle of the day is their highest usage, and that's why if you use their thermostats, you actually get a discount at night, because that's when they want you to use energy, because they're not producing much of it. So if their generators had a nice, even, steady pull of electricity all the time, it'd be perfect for them. Mm-hmm. But they don't like to see that big spike in the middle of the day. So they want you to keep your temperature up to take a little load off of their stuff, and it works out for them. Now, you're not going to be comfortable at 78 if you're in the house. And another reason, if you're not in the house, 78 doesn't really hurt anybody. The problem with that is if you try to cool it off at 5 o'clock and it's been 78 all day, it's going to take a long time with a properly sized system to get back down to a comfortable temperature. So that's kind of what these variable speed systems are so good at, though, because they don't come on and off, and they don't max out every time they come on. So it kind of is the best of both worlds. For your utility, they like them, because of the utility savings. And how they save utilities is that they don't slam on and slam off. They just run at a nice, steady, consistent speed all day and keep the house cool. And then the humidity stays a lot lower. So I'll give you an example. My house, well, I actually do go up to 78 in the middle of the day because nobody's home. If we ever are home in the middle of the day and somebody's there, nobody can believe my home is 78 degrees because it's got a really big display on the wall and that everybody questions it. They're like, there's no way it's 78. My humidity is 48%. So 78 in my home feels more like 75. And that's another really good side benefit of these variable speed systems is controlling that humidity. It's that's what makes you feel uncomfortable more so than the temperature is the humidity. When you start feeling sticky, you're hot. Mm. And that's what everybody can't stand. If you're laying in bed under the sheets and you feel sticky, they feel hot.
I'm in a bad mood too.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like hangry, but it's a little different.
All right, we have a follow-up text. I have a one-stage outside unit, but the inside unit has humidity control. What would be the benefit to have a two-stage as the outside unit?
All right, the benefit there is a two-stage could run longer. For a system to remove humidity, the outdoor unit has to run. So if we turn on a 3-ton unit, for example, and we cool the house off and it shuts off, let's say it took 10 minutes. So we had 10 minutes of dehumidification, and now the system's satisfied it's got to turn off. If we have a 2-speed, it can run like, say, a 2-ton, and it may run for 15 or 20 minutes and take a lot longer to get to that temperature, but now we've dehumidified for 20 minutes. So we've taken more humidity out of the air, humidity stays lower, therefore I ran longer. And again, to add to that, that's where our variable speeds run all day long, and they're always taking out humidity. So that longer runtime is what takes humidity down, and not coming on and off is what saves you power, because getting that compressor started is what takes so much inrush of power to get everything going. And just like driving your car, when you take off from a red light, if you've ever watched your miles per gallon meter, it's terrible until you get to final gear. And mm-hmm. then it gets pretty good. Well, the variable speeds just stay in that pretty good zone all day. The two speeds kind of have a two-speed transmission where they've got a little bit of an ability to shift gears. And then your single speeds, it'd be like having your car in overdrive and taking off from a red light. It'd be a slow everything you got to get going until you got up to speed.
So when it's a one stage, that means it's just a same speed AC unit in a two stage. It's has like multiple speeds.
That's right. You've got one speed or two.
So how do you upgrade? Is that just a completely different unit you have to install?
It is a different outdoor unit. Now, depending on the indoor unit you have, you possibly could be able to upgrade just the outdoor unit. It depends on the indoor unit that you have. Indoor units are compatible sometimes with multiple outdoor units.
Okay. Okay, so perfect. And a lot of good questions in here today.
Yep.
437-1620, 437-1620, if you want to keep them going. You know, another thing I think about is when the summer comes in, I often think about the weeds that tend to build up inside an AC unit. Do y'all do any sort of cleanups when it comes to that, or any preventative measures to try and keep the gunk out of an AC unit?
We do. We've got several customers that it's bad. You know, if you've got your unit sits under an oak tree or anything like that, it'll fill up with those small leaves over time. And that leaves in the bottom can actually be really detrimental to your unit because they keep moisture around everything in the unit. That's the worst part. The leaves themselves aren't that bad, but they keep moisture and they start to deteriorate. So when we dig them out, we get a lot of that black dirt and worms and everything because it's moist. But the bad part is when we get to the bottom, the bottom of the unit's actually starting to rust out if it's a unit with a metal bottom. And then you've got steel canisters that are always down low. And if it builds up around those steel canisters, they can get extremely rusty. And if they rust through, you lose all your Freon. So those are the things we see that cost people a lot of money for a pretty simple preventative maintenance. And the leaf buildup is a pretty bad one.
So I actually live in an apartment complex right now. What are some ways I can try to keep up with my indoor unit? Because all the outside units are along the side of the building, but I know I have a way of keeping up with it on the inside unit. What are some ways I can try and keep check of that?
You can actually look at, most of the time, if you can get to your indoor unit, there's several things you can look at. Obviously, clearing the drain would be one of them. You could have, if it's accessible, you could actually vacuum out the drain line with a wet dry shop vac. And then look at the coils. Keep your filters clean. If you can get the filter out where you can see the coil, in a lot of cases you can. And I even use my iPhone a lot because I'll take the filter out. And if I can't get my head in there, I can put my camera on video and turn the light on. and you can actually stick it in there and move it around and take it back out and watch a video, and you'll be surprised. You can see a lot if you're starting to get mold buildup, or just maybe your filter's not working good and your coil's getting dirty. If it's a really light amount of dirt, it can possibly be cleaned without pulling it out and save you a lot of money and make the system work better. So those are just a few things you can do, you know, short of...
No, I gotta also show you. So I really like my apartment complex. A lot of cool things in there, a lot of tech gadgets. So one of the apps that I have on here is a way for me to log in, and I can control the thermostat from my cell phone.
Absolutely.
That is one of the coolest things. Are those services that y'all offer at Climatech?
It is. It's funny. My wife, we laid down last night, and my wife said, I forgot the thermostat. And I said, boy, wouldn't it be nice if you were married to a guy that had one of those things on his phone? And I rolled over and grabbed it, and I said, I got it. I have to rub her sometimes.
Oh, yeah, no, you should, as you should. No, I think that's a part of the healthy relationship at all times. But these are cool, you know, because this is my first time getting to play with one of these. And it's part of the smart technologies that are in this building. But I can adjust my temperature accordingly, which, by the way, it's set to 71.
Nice.
Sort of that is our preferred temperature. Also, but it lets you know what the temperature actually is inside, and also lets you know what the humidity levels are like.
That's nice.
Inside. Mine currently sitting at 65%.
That's a little high.
That's a little high.
You need to check that. Yep.
Sometimes we leave the back door open.
Ah, that's bad.
Because we have
a
balcony, and it feels nice at the same time, but at the same time, it's kind of hot now.
If you look at a psychrometric chart and you look at that humidity and that temperature, you're not going to like what you see, so things will get wet.
You know, that's actually an interesting question there. As somebody who sometimes does leave the door open because we have the balcony and we like to hang out outside, but yet we run the AC, how counterintuitive is that? Like, what does that do for the comfortable levels inside your house, the comfortability levels inside your house?
When you leave a door open, even if it's just for a minute or two, you are dumping water into your house, literally. And I'm not being funny. It's a lot of moisture in the air comes in. So it's going to take that system a long time to overcome what you've let into it and get the humidity back in check. I was going to bring this up after you talked about the thermostat. You know, we've got devices we can add to those thermostats that will tell you if your drain switch opens. They've got devices that will actually shut the water off to the house if you get a wet floor somewhere. They've got devices that hook to balcony doors that if you leave it open for more than 5 minutes, it shuts your AC off for you. That's not something you might want, but if you have a rental, like say a condo rental, and you're tired of having AC companies come out for no reason, there's a good one, because if they leave the door open for more than 5 minutes, it'll just shut the unit off, and you know it. You're alerted to it. So the features on thermostats now are amazing. I mean, they do a lot of things for us. Our variable speed systems actually report to us. We can go in there and look at your Freon levels, your temperatures, all sorts of stuff before we even send a technician to your home. So the technology behind the AC system world is definitely blown up in the last few years, and some of the things like you're talking about are really neat, but there's a lot of stuff out there that people don't know about. We don't do a good job of advertising it as AC guys, because when we think of door switches and water switches and all, we're like, well, that's not me. You know, I can even put cameras on my thermostat to look. You know, but we're AC guys. We don't think about that a lot. But the technology is definitely there, and it's something we can help you with. We'd rather do the thermostat part of it and show you how to do your camera stuff and let you deal with that.
Well, Travis, real quick, how can we get a hold of you if we need to? We have any AC questions?
850-857-4700, or you can go to climatechproair.com.
This has been Travis Thompson of Climatech of Professional Air. Travis, we appreciate the time. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.